The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
As our victory showed, the entire nation is rapidly unifying behind our agenda with dramatic increases in support from virtually every element of our society, young and old, men and women, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, urban, suburban, rural. And very importantly, we had a powerful win in all seven swing states. And the popular vote, we won by millions of people. National unity is now returning to America, and confidence and pride is soaring like never before.
It is the determination of the Bulletin's Science and Security Board that humanity has not made sufficient progress on the existential risks that endanger us all. We thus move the clock forward. The doomsday clock is a tool for communicating how close we are to destroying the world with technologies of our own making. The risks we face from nuclear weapons, climate change, and disruptive technologies are all growing. Every second counts, and we are running out of time. It is a hard truth, but this is our reality. It is now 85 seconds to midnight. This is the closest the world has ever been to midnight.
Well, Herbert Armstrong used to talk about the doomsday clock and just how close we are to the end of this age. That first bit was President Trump a year ago talking about national unity. It's interesting to look back on that after a year, given what's happening in the United States today in Minneapolis and elsewhere, a nation that's so deeply divided. And yet all the talk in the world about unity and peace and so on, we know what's about to happen. I understand that the, what are they called? The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. So many of them are probably woke leftists. And they, you know, people haven't, when they talk about the economy crashing because Trump's in there, we'll get to that in just a bit. They, again, there's political motivation behind it. But still, look at the signs. I mean, the handwriting is on the wall. So many prophecies are coming together right at the same time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We've got an action-packed show to get into, lots and lots of material. It always gets, well, the stack just gets bigger and bigger, even up until the last few minutes before I take to the air, because there's just that much to get into. When you look at the news items together with what Herbert Armstrong was saying for so long, and then my father following that in 1989 up until this point, 36 years. Mr. Armstrong's ministry was, what, 57 years? I mean, it may seem like a long time, a century or so, but we're right here in the last years of man's 6,000-year experiment, going it alone without God and his guidance, his government, his spirit. Mankind's been cut off from God and his mind and his way of life and his holy power since Genesis 3. Taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for 6,000 years. And here we are, right on the brink. You've got all these things now about nuclear weapons, even movies. It's coming back. Nuclear proliferation. I mean, just going into the atomic age in 1945, I mean, that right there was a signal as plain as day that we're living in the days Jesus described, where were it not for God's timely intervention, we would destroy ourselves. We now have the weapons capable of doing just that. You think about just how fascinating this is from a Bible prophecy student standpoint. To see these prophecies converge This is a year of celebration for the United States. Even with our deep divisions, we're coming up upon the 250th birthday. There's, depending upon how you look at it, there's some positive signs with respect to the economy here in America. There's also some very negative ones. We'll come to that in a second. But it wouldn't be surprising to see some short-term gain for the United States in terms of, you know, just economics and so forth, investment, finally getting a handle on inflation, people getting more money, lower energy prices, etc. But here again, you've got to look more deeply into the facts and the figures. Even as we celebrate our birthday, you're going to see the nations of this world unite against the United States of America. I mean, that's happening plain as day. You just look at the past year, this first year of President Trump's second term. And I think this is the year that Germany and the others in Europe decided we need a Holy Roman Empire. We have to. We've got to have it to compete with the United States to oppose Orange Hitler. And we've been through this in recent programs. You know, Mr. Armstrong, I'll read a little bit from it in just a minute. He talked back in 1985. This was just less than a year before he died. He talked about how it seemed that God was just delaying the formation of the Holy Roman Empire. And then as soon as he dies, I mean, so much happens. I mean, another 40, he talked about 40 years. He's been proclaiming this signature prophecy, and it seemed like God was holding it back. And then as soon as he dies, you look at the wall comes down, the Soviet Union collapses. So many things happening with respect to the formation of the European Union. And of course, over time, they gained economic union. Not the strongest political or government union just yet. That's coming. And then now the rush to build the military. Reuters says this: Germany pushes for two-speed Europe with a new block of six leading economies. So we need two tiers here, or a two-tiered Europe. We need a core. And right now they're talking about six nations, but how soon before we hear that it's 10? Germany will push for a two-speed European Union to break decision-making inertia in the 27-member bloc and galvanize its economies, calling for a core group of member states to move ahead on key policies to make Europe stronger and more independent. Well, that's what we heard at Davos. We know the plan. They're not concealing it anymore. And now they're going forward. Now is the time for Europe. A Europe of two speeds. This is from the German finance minister. Finance ministers from Germany and France want to strengthen competitiveness within the EU by introducing a new format of the bloc's six leading economies. So in the article, it lists Germany, France, Poland, Spain, Italy, and the Netherlands. That's in the Reuters article just today. Now, you look back, you want to hear tomorrow's news today. Look back at the July 2023 trumpet. And my father in that issue had an article, 10 Kings of the New Holy Roman Empire Rising Now. You see the issue there on the screen. And in that article, he identifies Germany, Austria, France, the Netherlands, and Italy as being five of the kings. Identifying five of those 10. Poland and Spain are mentioned in the Reuters article, but it has Germany, France, Italy, and the Netherlands. I mean, it's taking shape. It's happening just as it's prophesied. And here my father a few years ago, he's giving you specifics. I mean, we know Germany's going to be there. We know Italy's going to be there. And now you've got the strengthening of this German-Italy axis. I went through that with you yesterday. There's no more delay now, that's for sure. Now, as my father said back, you know, in the 1990s, when we hit 1989, the start of the PCG, I mean, we entered into a time of no more delay, Revelation 10 and verse 6. And you just step back and look at the bigger picture and you see how things really did accelerate as soon as Mr. Armstrong died. But now, I mean, we're on like fast forward. And who would have ever thought that one of the signature prophecies of my father's, you know, Jeroboam and his return and the American resurgence, who would have thought that Jeroboam would be the catalyst of so many of these fast forward prophecies being developed? Whether it's the Holy Roman Empire or whatever it is, this is going back to 1985, Mr. Armstrong said, thus Europe was divided right down the middle. This is, again, tomorrow's news today wasn't just from that article in 2023. This goes back to 1985. He talks about Europe being divided and the USSR, Soviet Union, and then dissatisfaction has been mounting in Europe. The Western nations of Europe are tired of being under the American umbrella. The Eastern Bloc of Europe has suffered increasingly in economy and insufficient technological progress. Now there's a growing talk about Germany being once again united in the fatherland. Now, he's writing this in 1985. This is over 40 years ago. He's talking about Germany reuniting. He's talking about the emergence of the Holy Roman Empire. It says, for more than 40 years now, the plain truth has been proclaiming an outstanding series of Bible prophecies of something due soon to occur in Europe that will change the world and shake up the lives of every one of us. He says, Daniel's prophecy in chapter 2 pictures 10 nations in Europe in our time right now as the 10 toes on the 2 feet of the great symbolic image. He's talking about the Daniel 2 image. You'll have to look to some of our literature to get more on that. We brought this one up for you to consider today. Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. Wonderful little booklet that takes you right through each resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. And the last one prophesied to have those 10 kings, Revelation 17 and verse 12, with one mind. Notice, we've got to do this. It's got to be two-tiered because there's too much inertia and too much squabbling and fighting. And one nation out of 27 can derail the whole agenda. So now they're wanting to whittle it down. They're talking about 6, but just wait until it ends up with 10. In some kind of formation, there's going to be 10 that emerge because that's what your Bible prophesies. We're just right. We're right here on the home stretch. You can see Europe now sprinting. They know they have to. They know they need an empire. They know they need a stronger union. They know they need just more unanimous consent because they've got to have that one mind. They've got to have that one mind to move, to operate, to compete. And it's nearly here. 5 of those toes picture 5 nations in Western Europe and 5 in Eastern Europe. Like I said, my father in that 2023 article. I mean, it's getting down to naming names. And you see it even with world leaders. You see a Jeroboam. We've seen an Antiochus. We see a Prince of Rosh. Just waiting on that Daniel 8 strongman. He'll show up soon as well. Then is pictured a great stone representing Christ at his second coming, smiting those toes and coming to rule in the kingdom of God over all those and all other nations on earth. He talks about this being explained in Revelation 17 as well. And then he says here, for some reason, God has been holding back the fulfillment of this prophecy, but it is certain to occur. And so Mr. Armstrong dies in 1986, and many of the brethren in the Worldwide Church of God just gave up. Essentially, they just threw in the towel. For whatever reason, a man of sin comes along and says, hey, we don't want to declare these prophecies anymore. We don't want to proclaim the truth. And so they got rid of Mystery of the Ages. They got rid of the U.S. and Britain and prophecy. They stopped prophesying. They said, prophesy not. And most of God's people were just lulled to sleep. Even as the wall came down, even as the Soviet Union imploded, even as we went through just these earth-shaking jolts in Europe. And again, you look at it or you live through it and you think, wow, it's so, I mean, so much bureaucracy and 27 nations and I've finally got the currency, but they're still weak and woke and there's problems. And there were. Daniel 2 says, clay mixed with iron. One person can, or one nation can, derail the agenda. But what happens when just 10 come together with one mind for a short time? Mr. Armstrong in 1984, he talked about what would undoubtedly be the catalyst or the trigger for these 10 nations to come together. This is clip 11.
But I believe that some event is going to happen suddenly, just like out of a blue sky, that is going to shock the whole world and is going to cause the nations of Europe to realize they must unite. Well, he said he believed that would have to happen too. Well, now I think I can see what may be the very event that is going to trigger it, and that is the economic situation in the world.
The economy, that's what would trigger Europe uniting as an empire. You look at some of the stories today, there's a one at Politico. The dollar is sinking and Donald Trump thinks it's great. In case you haven't noticed, I think gold's up over $5,000 per ounce. Silver, last time I checked, $114. It wasn't that long ago. It was like $25 or $30. These are signs that the dollar is weak. And as Politico notes, and again, there's always an agenda behind these left-wing publications. But I'll play a clip later where it shows you that President Trump thinks it's great. And again, for a short time, it might be. As investors come into the United States saying, well, the dollar's cheap. We can invest. And of course, the Trump people say, well, that's good for American businesses. But there is a tipping point. I mean, you don't want the dollar to become like the currency in Zimbabwe, do you? I mean, then would investors be flooding into America? A weak currency. It helps industries that he's seeking to boost. Trump, that is. Particularly manufacturers, but also oil and gas. It says, and U.S. corporations that export goods and services abroad typically report stronger earnings when they can convert foreign payments into a weaker greenback. But, it says, a soft dollar also diminishes the purchasing power of U.S. businesses and consumers and can lead to higher inflation. That's one reason why Treasury officials, including Scott Bessent, have historically advocated for a stronger dollar. And that's one thing you see coming from The Economist. And they all got an opinion. Some say strong dollar. Some say weak dollar. I've been playing the clips where, whether it's President Trump or Bessent, saying there's nothing to worry about with respect to Europe. And meanwhile, Europe is aligning with Latin America, and then they signed the trade deal with India. They're preparing for war. Europe, Germany is preparing a war machine. They're preparing to freeze out the United States. Another reason gold and silver are skyrocketing is because that's becoming the reserve currency, so to speak. It used to be the dollar. And you've got all of these nations like China that have so many of the treasury bonds, America's treasury bonds. They aren't quite to the point where they're going to dump those, which would crash the American economy. But they've certainly stopped taking on more dollars, that is. Because they're looking at what's happening in America. They're looking at America, the way it's, you know, lashing out at Europe and seeking after Greenland. And, of course, you've got Orange Hitler. There's a lot of reasons for China, for Russia, for Germany, for Latin America to pull the rug out from underneath the United States. But so many of the leaders in the U.S. think that there's no vulnerabilities. We're too strong. We're too big to fail. You remember that one? Heading into 2008, that wasn't that long ago. Peter Schiff says we've got a bigger crash coming than 2008, and it could be here this year. I'll play the clips a little bit later. Here's one from Fox Business, clip 7.
So we're in a boom, but the dollar's going down and gold is going up. I'm not sure I understand that.
For months, China and its allies have been buying gold. And now, as of a couple of months ago, and for the first time ever, own more gold than they did U.S. treasuries. So I think it's not necessarily they're dumping treasuries. They're just not buying as many, not buying as much dollar material, if you will.
I'm a little more sinister because I think China and their friends in the BRIC countries would like to damage the dollars as reserve, world reserve currency. So they stopped buying our bonds and they're buying gold instead of dollars. What do you think?
But Larry, I think you're exactly right there. And as they make that swap, it's obviously reducing that demand for dollars. Those dollars are coming flooding back home here to the United States.
And it's making the dollar weak. Is this good? Long term, is this good? The $38 trillion in debt, is that good long term? Politico says here, some of Trump's other advisors, including Stephen Moran, who's on leave from his role as the president's top economic advisor, argue that the dollar's strength in recent years has placed domestic businesses at a competitive disadvantage. So they want it weaker. Well, it's sinking, and fast. Trump's foreign policy agenda and repeated tariff threats, including his push to acquire Greenland, have amplified a sell America narrative. What happens when the sell America narrative sets in? The world is banding together. Yes, America is the lone superpower at the moment. But when it's a battle against the world, this is a battle America is going to lose. Play clip 3 also from Fox Business.
Gold shimmering up to its highest close today in history at $5,079.90 per troy ounce, just a day after blasting through $5,100 an ounce. Investors have been piling into the safe haven trade for a year now. The run-up in precious metals has gotten added rocket fuel since President Trump announced his widespread tariffs back in April.
The problem with the government is not that it might shut down, but that it's going to continue to operate. The U.S. government is the biggest reason that gold is at a new all-time record high. The dollar today, the dollar index, is at a four-year low. Against the Swiss franc, the U.S. dollar is at an all-time record low today. Consumer confidence just plunged to a 12-year low. And as you said, gold is at an all-time record high. So, you know, Trump is trying to sell the U.S. economy as, you know, the hottest in the world. But according to consumers and investors, it is the coldest in the world. Gold and silver are warning about a bigger crisis that's going to hit either later this year or maybe next year. We are headed for a U.S. dollar crisis.
The U.S. dollar is weaker against all major currencies. In fact, it's hitting a four-year low. Sometimes people say, well, you don't want too strong a dollar because that means, you know, multinational companies here in the United States, their products become more expensive. So where is the sort of middle ground here?
Yeah, well, it's actually weaker against the yuan, too, because the other currencies, the way your charts look, it's the other currencies going up. But then the yuan, it shows the dollar going down. Look, the dollar is weaker across the board. And this is a vote of no confidence in the U.S. economy, in the U.S. government's ability to manage its finances. You know, the nail in the coffin was the big, beautiful bill, because before Trump was elected, there was actually some hope that the U.S. might actually, you know, get a handle on spending and cut government spending. You had Elon Musk coming in with Doge, but unfortunately, they ran him out of town because there's no stomach, even in the Republican Party, for cutting government spending. So the deficits are running out of control, even more now than they were before. And now you have Trump antagonizing the world with tariffs that aren't really on the world.
That's Peter Schiff there. I'll play another one from him in just a second. But you try to dig into how the economy works, whether the world economy or the U.S. economy. And again, everybody's going to have a different opinion. The simplicity of God's economy based on the tithing system, based on staying out of debt, not borrowing. The principle of give, It's more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. There's a lot of bedrock principles on economy, the economy in the Bible, but man's rejected the Bible. And we've come up with our own systems. Again, this is the devil's world. The whole world is deceived, Revelation 12, 9. And that includes all the economists and so on. They have propped up economies like a house of cards. And what will it take for leaders, as he mentioned there, politicians, to finally get a stomach for tightening our financial belts, for stopping the madness, for eliminating waste and fraud? I mean, look at the Somalia thing in Minnesota, which Tim Walz is happily, you know, blotting out. He's just erasing it. It's not even in the narrative now. And what's replaced it? Well, a lot of other evil acts, division, strife. You've got, as I mentioned the other day, I don't have time to get to it today, the 36,000 Iranians that have been slaughtered in the latest uprising, just killed all, by the government. Tens of thousands. That's not going to concern, you know, Steve Kerr or Wemby. You know, they have these big statements about how horrific one act in Minnesota is or was. We're living in a world that is, it's gone mad. It's off the rails. We're building to an explosion. Germany is leading the way in opposition to the United States. All these alliances that are happening, all the talk now openly about just getting it down to a solid core that thinks the same way. And then just removing all the regulations, going into debt now so that they can build the war machine. It's happening. It's happening. And nobody's sounding the alarm. Well, except God's church. But outside of that, well, we've got our own problems. You're listening to them on these clips. The value of the dollar. I mean, we pulled away from the gold standard in 1971. We thought the almighty dollar would just last forever and ever and ever. We thought the dollar bill, the almighty greenback, would be like the gold standard forever and ever and ever. Listen to the way Deutsche Welle is reporting on this development. Clip 9.
Central banks in major emerging economies, including Brazil, have been sharply increasing their gold reserves, pushing prices even higher.
These countries are suffering greatly from a weaker dollar because of their trade with the US. Brazil is a good example. That's why they want to massively increase their gold reserves to stabilize their own currencies when the dollar moves. And beyond that, they want to make themselves less dependent on the US dollar.
Brazil, China, Germany. There's a long line is developing. A long line of countries that want to be less dependent on the dollar. Less dependent. I mean, the U.S., hey, they're unpredictable. They can't be trusted. They need to crash. We need to take them out. Listen to this. Now, on the other side, you've got this from Stephen Moore at CNN. He's talking about some of the Trump policies as well. It's booming. And, of course, Trump's in Iowa last night saying all those same things. It's never been better. We're in the golden age. I mean, money's just flowing in. Listen to clip 10.
Look at the facts of the economy. It is a booming economy. We, you know, the latest report is almost 5.5% growth in the fourth quarter, which is an incredible number. We haven't seen that in recent memory. We've got gas prices down. Inflation is headed down to the 2% target. Median family income last year was up 2,500. Those are people in the exact middle, adjusted for inflation. I mean, I could go on and on with the positive elements of this story.
Positives and negatives. So, you know, driven by political ideology, so many of these economists, so many of these commentators, you know, everything is sort of seen through that prism. But the reality is, America's broke, and nobody has a stomach to reduce spending. So you've got the big, beautiful bill. I mean, you've got let's buy Greenland. Yeah, the party. It's America's birthday. Dollar's plummeting, but who cares? This was President Trump. This is clip four. He was in Iowa last night and asked about the devaluing of the dollar. Clip four.
Are you comfortable, Mr. President, with the current value of the dollar? Do you think it's declined too much?
No, I think it's great. I mean, the value of the dollar. Look at the business we're doing. The dollar's doing great.
You want to see it decline?
You know, it's very interesting. If you look at China and Japan, I used to fight like with them because they always wanted to devalue their yen. You know that? The yen and the yuan. And they'd always want to devalue it. They devalue. And I said, not fair that you devalue because it's hard to compete when they devalue. But they always fought, no, our dollars.
You talked a lot about.
What an interesting response. Even leaving aside the fact, oh, the dollar's doing great. I love it. I love the fact that the value is plummeting. But then he says, look, I used to get on China and Japan for devaluing their currency. Because it made it unfair for other countries that wanted to trade and so on. So now the U.S. is doing it. I mean, that's kind of what he's implying. Maybe he thinks it's just happening kind of randomly. Earth-shaking jolts. That's what we're experiencing. And again, you can step back and say, well, you know, for 40 years, Mr. Armstrong said this, for 40 years, we've been talking about this signature prophecy. For some reason, God held it back. It's certainly not being held back now. Certainly not. Listen to President Trump's interview with Maria Bartiromo. This is clip eight.
So what should we expect from the European countries? I mean, they've got this EU anti-coercion instrument that would be, you know, services, impacting our services, as you said. And then the Danish pension fund said that they're going to exit U.S. treasuries, $100 million treasuries at the end of December. European countries hold trillions of stocks and bonds from the U.S. Do you worry that they would start selling those in retaliation?
If they do, they do. But, you know, if that would happen, there would be a big retaliation on our part. And we have all the cards.
So much confidence. As I said the other day, pride comes before the fall. She said there at the last, do you worry that they would start selling those treasuries, that is? He said, before he went into his comment, he said, no, if they do, there's retaliation. We hold all the cards. We're stronger than ever. Nobody's going to mess with the United States. Nobody's going to align against us in opposition to our policies, our agenda. Nobody can stop us. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. This is when you're pleasing God, when you're obeying God. It says, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow. Borrowing's a curse. Being $38 trillion in debt is a curse. Having a worthless currency is a curse. So what does that mean? Well, if you keep reading in that same chapter, Deuteronomy 28, it's the blessings and cursings chapter. It says in verse 43, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Verse 44, he shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. What that's saying is the lenders have some leverage. Whether they're European countries or China or Japan, it would crash the economy if they flooded the market with worthless dollars. We're reaching a tipping point, and it's coming fast, the crash. This is Peter Schiff. He made some of these remarks in that previous clip we played, but here's another one from Fox News, clip six.
And the world is now pulling the rug out from under the U.S. The dollar is going to collapse. The dollar is going to be replaced by gold. Central banks are buying gold
to
back up their currencies. They're getting rid of dollars. They're getting rid of treasuries. We are headed for a economic crisis, again, that will make the 2008 financial crisis look like a Sunday school picnic. The biggest difference between the crisis that we're about to have and the one we had back then is this one is all in America. It's not going to be exported to the rest of the world. It's not a global financial crisis. It's an American financial crisis.
Wow. I mean, that's Peter Schiff. 2008. I mean, the whole world was drawn into that one. What kind of world would it be if it was concentrated on America? America's collapse. America's crash. And then what do you, all of this war of words. What do you think that would, how do you think Germany, China, Russia, how do you think that they would react to that? All of a sudden, America's economy has crashed. It's happening pretty fast. What a time to be so grossly overconfident, to be so filled with pride. You know, that's one thing in that statement from President Trump a year ago, where he said, we've never been more unified and we're coming together and we won all the swing states and the popular vote by a landslide. And then right at the end, if you remember, he said, we're a nation full of pride. Well, that part I agree with. Of course, he's talking about having a pride in your power and patriotism and so on. Pride comes before the fall. And Mr. Armstrong said in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy, I mean, the higher up you go, the harder the crash. And you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, you look at some of those classic sound bites from Herbert Armstrong, and he says it's going to come upon us suddenly. Like an animal caught in a trap, a snare. This is what we've got to be preparing ourselves for. No one else is even concerned. Well, I mean, Peter Schiff, at least, is concerned about the economy. What did he say? The world is pulling the rug out from under the United States. Is that a serious thing? Even the lady, she just kind of talks over it like it's okay, we're having a nice conversation. Wait a second. Wait. Pause, hit the pause button. The world is pulling the rug out from the United States. The gold or silver, the skyrocketing cost for gold and silver, it shows that the world's pulling the rug out from under us. It's now the gold standard or the gold reserves. That's the reserve currency because countries, and again, there's built-in hostility toward America, pulling the rug out and so on. But, you know, every nation is in it for himself or themselves. They want security, and they know that with an ounce of gold, at least you've got something of substance. What they don't know, as the prophecies inform, is that there's coming a time when people are going to cast gold coins into the streets. And it's every man for himself. Great tribulation. This is where we're headed. Jesus said so in Matthew 24. Nothing I say should be shocking. Just read Matthew 24. Read the whole Olivet prophecy and see what's prophesied for the last days. I mean, you look at no more delay. Look at what happened to God's church. In just a matter of 6-7 years, you totally could not even identify it as a church of God anymore. That's how swift the destruction came. 130,000, 40,000 people attending the Worldwide Church of God, $200 million annual income, mystery of the ages going out, millions of them. Same with U.S. and Britain in prophecy. And within a few short years, it was totally destroyed. God raised it back up. He raised the ruins through this little church. But here today, I mean, it's just a small number, a little flock. It's a small work in some respects. In a lot of respects, I suppose. But one that's about to get a lot of attention. Because, like Ezekiel 33 says, When it's finally upon us, then they're going to know. Then they're going to know there was a prophet. Then they're going to know there was a work. God's work, sounding the alarm. This is what Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1956. Is this worth going through? I mean, an article that's, you know, 70 years old? Seriously? Well, the Bible's 2,000 years old. In some cases, 3,000 years old. What about that? 4,000. Moses. I forget the exact years for Moses and the Israelites, but it was written and recorded a long time ago. Mr. Armstrong says, as God prophesied of some of our peoples, we profess godliness and Christianity. As you read in Isaiah, well, let me just read it to you. I think it's in my notes later. Isaiah 40, I read it in class today. Wonderful verse. Isaiah 48, verse 1. Hear you this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord. Wow! Swear by the name of God? And make mention of the God of Israel. Talk about God all the time. But not in truth, nor in righteousness. You see, fake religion. Fake religion. Lots of talk about God, the name of God, making mention of Him, swearing by His name, but it's not based or grounded in truth or righteousness. It's not true religion. Listen to this. This was in Iowa, I believe, a restaurant in Iowa last night. President Trump talking to some of the patrons there. Clip 2.
Can I pray for you real quick?
Absolutely. Come on.
All right. Lord God, give you thanks for this president, Lord. Thank you for animal protection.
Yes, Jesus.
Pray for continued wisdom. Pray for discernment. Pray for hope. Pray for more peace, Lord. And just pray for just protection against the world, the devil, the flesh, and all principalities, Lord. Thanks, Mr. for giving that breath.
Amen. Praise God.
Thanks, strong.
Praise God.
Prayer right there in the restaurant with the President of the United States. He prayed for continued wisdom. He prayed for President Trump to have discernment. And he prayed, the individual there that did, he prayed for more peace because peace is breaking out everywhere. Lots of prayers, lots of calling upon God's name. I'm sure these people are sincere. I mean, the ones in Isaiah 48:1 are sincere. They're talking about God. They're swearing by His name. But is it grounded in the truth? Is it based on God's righteousness, God's perspective, God's view, God's mindset? Because that's the only thing that makes it true religion. Look at what Jesus encountered in Mark 7. I'll just read this to you. Mark 7. It's a great chapter, by the way. The start of the chapter, the Pharisees were beside themselves. They couldn't understand why the disciples weren't washing their hands and their elbows and their arms. I mean, before that, not just before meals. I mean, before sitting down at the desk. I mean, they were just so into their traditions. Making sure everything's clean, clean on the outside. Like a whited sepulcher. And what did Jesus tell them? You men are filthy on the inside. Why don't you clean up your hearts? Mark 7, verse 6, he answered and said to them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You mean Jesus Christ? I just read to you Isaiah 48 and verse 1. You mean Christ is telling these Pharisees that what Isaiah the prophet wrote actually was, it's not just about ancient Israel or ancient Judah. Christ is saying he prophesied of what you individuals are doing right now in the first century. I mean, that just tells you that those prophetic works, they're not just history books. They don't just apply to ancient Israel going into captivity, Assyrian captivity. Prophecy is dual. Those prophets of God had a message that was more for this time than it was for that time or the first century or any time in between. Mr. Armstrong used to say, A third of the Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for today. The last days, people that honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do you think that's going on today? I mean, if it was going on in the first century, if it happened with ancient Israel, could it possibly happen in our time? Honoring God with our lips, paying lip service to religion, to the Bible, to God's name, maybe swearing in his name. Verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I want you to notice some words here, and we're going to pause so you can appreciate what Jesus is saying. He says, worship, teaching, and commandments. I mean, here were some religious people worshiping Christ, teaching others, commandments. And it was all in vain. Now that is some big time fake religion. A lot of whited sepulchers on the outside. And then like Jesus said, and that's Matthew 23, but he said on the inside, it's dead men's bones. On the inside, there's filthiness. There's impurity. There's disobedience. There's arrogance. There's pride. There's vanity. Worshiping traditions, human traditions, putting that even ahead of God's truth, God's righteousness. Notice verse 8. Mark, it says, Mark 7, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. They were just stripping God and his glory away from everything that they did. It was all about them. It was all about their traditions. Worshiping, this is from our Ten Commandments booklet. Should have brought it up here. But it says, worshiping Christ with pagan customs and festivals is a direct violation of the second commandment. This is just one commandment. Talks about all ten in this booklet, obviously. But here's one, the second commandment, putting things in place of God or idolatry. He says, what does a decorated pine tree or painted eggs teach us about God? That's a good question. What does a painted egg teach you about God? Where did that come from? What's the central spiritual lesson to take away from a painted egg? What did Jesus say about painted eggs? There is no knowledge of God and his plans for man in these man-made festivals. I'll add man-made there. All such worship is vain, useless, and must be avoided. This is not a problem or a weakness that was limited to just a small group of Pharisees in the first century, or maybe some of the, you know, Gentile nations that Israel encountered during the Old Testament period. This has been embedded into human civilization since man was cut off from the tree of life. Ever since Adam and Eve rejected God's truth and righteousness, it's just been a free-for-all. That's why there's so many different religions and religious denominations, you name it. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got their set of traditions. In the Old Testament, you look at Exodus 32. This was the people of Israel. Moses goes up to commune with God, and I mean, after a short time, all the people were like, well, I guess Moses is not returning. We better create our own religious system. So they built this beautiful golden calf. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, they were engaged in an orgy. And the scripture says they called it a feast unto the eternal. There you go. All of this, these perverted, filthy sexual sins, together with, no doubt, celebration, dancing around the calf. And they called it They called it, if you can believe it, a feast unto the eternal. It is unbelievable how far removed we are from God on the one hand, and on the other hand, how close we think we are. If we just call on his name, swear by his name, say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that he says. Verse 9 says, and he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. It's a 6,000 year story, and we're seeing a lot of it today. We're seeing a lot of fake religion, a lot of religion that maybe has a form of godliness, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, but they deny the power thereof, the authority, the government, and is weak. And Jesus exposed that. These Pharisees that said, hey, how come you're not washing your hands more? And he said to them, why won't you wash your heart, your wicked heart? Read all of Mark 7. It's a great study, and I know I've been touching on the subject of human nature a fair bit of late, but that's the cause of all the world problems and troubles we're seeing. And God's got a plan. He's going to deal with it. And he's going to clean up the human heart. But we're going to have to go through some agonizing trials and tests. We're going to have to go through the tribulation to finally be brought to the point where we'll look to God for guidance, for direction, for correction, for instruction, for teaching, for the truth. We're going to save the last 3 minutes. I have been negligent on filming the birds outside my house. Honestly, I've been negligent filling up the bird feeders. But Jesse in our control room, he has not been. He's been filling up his feeders, and he's being the great videographer that he is. He's got 3 minutes of birds in the most recent snowstorm that rolled right through central Oklahoma over the weekend. So we'll finish today's show with some really gorgeous imagery. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.